To today's episode of Kingdom Keys podcast, brought to you by Midnight Oil Ministries. My name is Pamela and I'll be your host. I'd like to say a special thank you to those who have prayed and given financially to make this podcast episode possible. I would also like to acknowledge Joanne McFadder, who has so graciously allowed me to use her music through my podcast. If you enjoy the clips of music, you can find more at www.joannemcfadder.com. Thank you and enjoy. Welcome, everyone. We're going to start today out with a little bit of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together to hear your word. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you being released, Father God. We thank you for touching every heart, every mind, Lord, bringing us all into the liberty of the sons of God. We thank you, Father God, for the kingdom that you have translated us into. And God, we just give you praise. We thank you for your strength. We thank you, Lord, that you empower us to be conquerors and overcomers in this life. Father, I just ask that you would bless each and every person that is tuned in. God, bless them with their need and let it be met in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome, everyone. Today, the Lord has put something on my heart that I don't think gets talked about enough, not in the right perspective anyway. And it's something that he's been having me teach. And I just wanted to come on this podcast and do a, you know, somewhat of a brief teaching today about it. But it's on spiritual warfare. And, you know, I know in the years past, there's been a lot of weird stuff taught, a lot of stuff that has gotten a lot of people into trouble. Because of wrongful engagement with darkness. And that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how to overcome and that our weapons are not carnal. We're going to be talking about the power of Jesus Christ in us to overcome this world and the thought processes that are happening right now in our current society. The enemy is at work to overcome and destroy the church. But luckily, well, I couldn't say luckily. I'll say we are completely, incredibly blessed that God said that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against his church. So praise God. I'm going to start out in a scripture in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." A lot of times, what I've been finding, I have a strong call to discipleship. And I am so blessed that I was brought into my walk with God under a very anointed teacher who rooted and grounded me in the Word of God. And it made a complete difference in my walk with the Lord. But what she taught and what I was hearing throughout the church was a little bit different, because she taught us about our enemies. She taught us about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. She taught us how to overcome and use the Word of God as a sword against that, the spirit realm, really, where the enemy is working against the church. And it just made a complete difference in my life. It gave me the ability to know who held me and know who stood fast with me and who kept me from stumbling and who has never left me. And I'm just so grateful for her. She's went on to be with Jesus, but she is greatly missed. But one of the things that the Lord showed me is that we, you know, when we engage with Jesus, when we come into the kingdom of God, you know, there's a clash of kingdoms immediately. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so we are engaged in a war. We're engaged, enlisted in an army. And many times we're not taught how to be victorious in the army. so people get taken out quite quickly through persecution, through just being tested in the word. You know, they don't have the ground in them or under them, I should say, to keep them from stumbling in those times. And I believe that's a failure on the church's part to not disciple. You know, Jesus said to go out and make disciples of the nations, but he also said to teach them to observe the things that he taught. And I don't think that that's really what's happening. It is in areas, but it's not overall the general rule. And so if we want to see people stand when they come to Jesus, we need to teach them how. And that is something that God has always put in my spirit, is to teach them, you know, teach his people how to stand through adversity, through struggles, through, you know, hardships and heartbreaks. And so that's why I'm here today. The scripture in Corinthians, it says, we don't walk in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. And many times we look at a situation or a person that may come into our life that causes us hardship, or that is used by the enemy in some way to derail us or even to seek to destroy us. And we get our minds and our hearts focused on a person. And that is really one of Satan's tactics, because when you get your mind and heart focused on a person, that it's them, then you become bitter and you become, you know, angry, and you become just full of ungodly things. And if we get full of ungodly things, then our heart, our field where faith is sown, is going to be filled with weeds. And that's just not a productive or conducive environment for faith to operate or to grow. So when we get our eyes on people like they're our enemy, then we lose sight of who we truly are engaged at war with. And that is absolutely Satan. He loves that. If we can get our minds on flesh instead of on the battle where it really is taking place. The scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It means that we're not packing guns, we're not packing knives, we're not packing our own two hands and fists and our own negativity. Our weapons that God has given us are spiritual weapons, and they are so much more mighty than any carnal weapon. It says that they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is something that is set up to prevent something. It's set up to derail. It's set up to, you know, a stronghold can be anything, you know, from our society's strongholds that you see happening right now with the some of the movements that are pushing forward. You can also see a stronghold in your own mind. It can be negativity. It can be self-hatred. It can be unforgiveness, bitterness. Strongholds are things that fortify or things that keep something in bondage. And it's meant, the idea of a stronghold is meant to keep something in and to keep something out. And the enemy's stronghold is not a good thing to have in our lives. So God has given us a way to get victory over that. Then it says casting down imaginations or arguments. Okay, well, arguments, imaginations, all of these things are rooted in our thought processes or other people's thought processes. Satan uses the minds of men to accomplish his will. And you can see that clearly when Judas was going to betray Jesus. And it said that Satan had put into the heart of Judas to betray him. And the minute Judas agreed with that, then Satan entered him. So you see that he was working on Judas's mind. And how was he working on his mind but offering him 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus? So he came through the avenue of men to get get him to betray Jesus. And so you see that he's working through the minds. He's working through thought processes. So we really got to guard that. And it says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, our weapons are given to bring down the things that are contrary to the thought of God, to his thoughts, his ways, his character, his just way of being. And it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So see, there's something that we have to do. It is not something that God just does for us. He helps us, but we have to be the ones who bring these thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's how the enemy works. He works through our thoughts. If he can get you to believe negative about yourself, if he can get you to believe that you're not saved, if he can get you to believe that, you know, somebody hates you, or that, you know, just all kinds of different ways he comes to build a stronghold inside of us. And that stronghold is meant, like I said, to keep something out and to keep something in. And he loves it when we are in bondage in ourselves, because then we are not outflowing the love of Christ. We're not outflowing the life of Christ. And our faith is being destroyed by this negativity. So there's many ways in which he is coming in this hour, that spirit of Antichrist, to destroy the church of Jesus. And but God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of him. And everything is hidden in Christ. Everything he has given us for to live an abundant, overcoming life. And so we need to seek that out. And we need to realize that when we become a Christian, we put on our battle fatigues. We enter into, you know, a war. And there's that season when the Holy Spirit has us in that boot camp place. And that's when the church needs to disciple and get people grounded, rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in the words of Christ, rooted and grounded in their identity in Christ, so that they are prepared to do battle, so that they're prepared to stand when all these contradictions start to come against their own minds, against our society, against the church itself. We need to be ready for this. And I believe the Lord has shown me that he has called us to conquer. He has called us, you know, his end game is for the church to stand and declare to the heavens the manifold wisdom of God. You know, the Bible says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to principalities and powers. But we're so succumbing to the mindsets of the earth. We're so succumbing to the things that are coming, this flood of the enemy that's coming against the church and lifting itself above the knowledge of God. And we're succumbing. We're coming under it. We're coming under sickness, disease. We're coming under oppression, depression. We're coming under the curse. We're coming under all of the negative things that are being spoken in the media. We are coming under this depression and hopelessness, and all of the things the enemy is trying to swallow us up with. And God wants us to rise above. He wants us to get our swords out, begin to sharpen the blades, begin to be ready to take the sword of the Spirit and begin to battle first in our own minds, first taking those thoughts captive that are negative and against the knowledge of Christ, taking them into captivity, bringing them into submission, not allowing them to root, not allowing them to plant, but bringing them into submission so that we can be overcomers. God has given us everything that we need. And the main thing that we need is the Holy Spirit and fellowship with our God. And to get in the Word of God, be serious about your walk. You know, you cannot be marked with Jesus and live a passive Christian life if you expect to have victory. The enemy is going to see that passiveness. He's going to see the lukewarmness of your heart, and he's going to go for it. And he's going to begin to speak, and he's going to begin to bring situations and all of these things to defeat and derail you and challenge the knowledge of God. And if you're not ready for that, then you can come underneath a heavy warfare. And you know, many have succumbed to it. So, you know, it is a life and death thing. You know, we get born again and we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, but there's a life here that God has called us to live that will be honoring and blessed and full of abundant life. But we have got to do something. You know, abundant life doesn't come to us just because we say we know Jesus. Abundant life comes to us when we apply the Word of God to our life, when we walk under the banner of His covenant, when we take the sword of the Spirit and we use that and we declare what we know about God and we keep our minds full of the Word of God and filled with the faith of God. You know, that's how we overcome in this life. And God has, you know, I have felt a real sense of God being tired of of the church laying bloody on the battlefield, when everything that we need to overcome our enemy has been given in the arsenal of the Spirit, in the Word of God. He has equipped us and anointed us to do warfare in a way that we know our God is with us and we are going to win this thing. And each life, you know, how can we globally or even regionally or even locally, you know, gain victory when we are not gaining victory in our own personal lives? You know, God wants us to do something with what He has given us. And He has given us, the Bible says, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that all of His promises are yes and amen to the glory of God. It's not yes for you and no for you, but it is yes and amen for the glory of God. So, okay, amen, praise the Lord, He is good. Another scripture I'm going to read here is Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. It says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not my might, but His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Okay, now I don't know about anybody else, but when I read the Word of God and I see repeatedly over and over and over and over again that we are engaged in war, but I see a church who acts like this word is no longer alive and no longer applicable, that kind of brings me a little bit of trouble in my heart and in my spirit, because from what I'm reading, we're engaged in a battle. We are engaged. And it doesn't matter if you think you are. If you belong to Jesus, you're sitting in the middle of a battlefield. And you need to recognize that. But your God has given you what you need to be the victor on that battlefield. To be the one who declares the glory of God because of who you know and because of what Jesus did for you. We were never called to be overcome. We were called to be overcomers in this life. We were called to reign in this life by Christ Jesus. But that takes a diligent effort of applying what you have learned and sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you what God is speaking at the moment. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of head knowledge, and they are dry and clouds without water, and they don't carry the Spirit. It's not about what you know in your head. You know, the Bible says that you can know all mysteries. You can give your body to be burned. You can do all of these things. But if you have not love, it profits you nothing. And see, the thing of it is, we don't have love without relationship with God. And that is really the big deal there. It's not about we're not manifesting love, so it doesn't profit us to do these things. As we don't have correct perspective when we do not have love, because we are not in relationship with God. You cannot be in deep relationship with God and not have love. It's impossible. If He's filling you, He is love. And though that love grows and matures and deepens as we grow and mature and deepen in our walk with God, when we have fellowship, true fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we will have love. And so that what we do for God is effective and it's powerful. It says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. Okay, stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay, many times in our walk with God, we have circumstances arise. We're not praying like we should. We're not being diligent in the Word of God. We're not being diligent on our face. And so circumstances arise and we succumb to the fear. We succumb to the report of the enemy. We succumb to the circumstance. And we lose sight of the one who said that I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You know, it says in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay? Jesus already overcame our enemy and has given us everything we need to overcome our enemy. And one of the scriptures that God kept putting in my heart this morning is be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That means that when you do something, okay, if you have that circumstance arise and you don't, and you become anxious about it, and you don't apply the word of God to it, and you don't do what his word says, which is to go to God, make your requests known, then you're not going to have the benefit of that promise, which is that his peace that surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we have to do something with this word. We have to do something with what God has equipped us with. We cannot sit back and do nothing with what we've been given and expect to see victory come. We can succumb just like in any war. You know, if a scheme is out against you, if a scheme is coming against you in a natural war and you're not prepared for that, you get caught off guard. But when you're prepared, you see it. You have eyes to see it. So see, when those things come, it could come through a member of your own household, hardship, heartbreak, whatever it may be. It could come through somebody that you love or adore. It can come through an enemy. It can come through a complete stranger. It can come through the system of this world. It doesn't matter. It could come through a report from the doctor. It doesn't matter where it manifests at. What matters is that you take the word and that you do it. You know, the Bible says it's not the hearers of the word who are blessed, but the doers of the word that are blessed. So when you take the word and you do something with it, then God the Father pours down an abundant supply of his spirit, pours down the grace you need to walk through that thing and be victorious, that his glory is seen in it. Sure, we walk through it. Sure, we're going to have to face that thing. But the end result is always that God receives glory and that we receive comfort and we receive our needs being met. God has made provision for everything from the day before we're even conceived to the day that we pass on and go to him. God has made preparation for every battle, and he's made provision for every battle. You know, one of the things the word says is that when Job was tested, it says to consider the suffering of Job and the end intended by the Lord. Satan had an agenda to come against Job. Satan had an agenda to destroy Job. Satan had a plan or a scheme to destroy Job. But the Lord had an end intended for Job. And that end intended was God giving back to him more than what he had. And even the people he lost, he was given back people who were familiar to him. Because God is good. God is good. We never lose. We cannot lose when we put our trust in him. When we put our trust in him, we are going to be victorious. And he's going to cause us to overcome our enemy. Okay, but we do have to do something. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can sit passively by and not have a sword in your hand and expect to defeat an enemy. You have got to have the sword of the Spirit in your hand. Okay, excuse me. Okay, the next part of the scripture in Ephesians 6:10 says, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, guarding your heart, having your feet readied or fit with the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the wicked one." Okay, that is some powerful truth right here. Okay, and that is a powerful truth about the war that we're in, but a powerful truth about the victory that we can have in this war. Okay. Then it goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation. Okay. The helmet is something that guards the mind. Okay. You have got to know that one of the biggest strategies that I have ever encountered in my life is being called by God, anointed by God to do something, and the enemy coming against me with all kinds of accusations and stuff like that to try to take me from my place in Christ, to try to make me believe that I was not his, to try to make me believe that I am not born again. Those, I'm telling you, if he can swipe under your feet and grab a hold that you do not belong to Jesus or that you are not saved or all of these things, then he's going to have access to your mind. Okay. We have got to have that basic understanding that we belong to him, that if we are born again and his spirit is living inside of us, that we are sealed for the day of redemption, that the Holy Spirit was that guarantee of our redemption. And we need to stand fast in those truths. We need to have our minds guarded. Okay. If you don't have that basic understanding of who you are in Christ, then everything else that's built is on shaky ground. You have got to know that Jesus said that all who come to him, he would in no way cast out. Okay. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To that end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So see, in Ephesians, that 6, it's 6:10 through 19, lays out the fact that we need to have our armor prepared. We need to be prepared. And it, I remember a time in the church when people would say, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. And it was more of a vocal declaration. Well, this is not talking about a vocal declaration. This is talking about action. This is talking about getting in and getting rooted in the Word of God. You cannot have faith. You can't have the shield of faith without the Word of God in you. You cannot have the helmet of salvation, you know, which is guarding your mind without the Word of God. You cannot have the sword of Spirit without getting into the Word of God. It all has to do with getting firmly rooted in the new covenant and in the words of Jesus Christ and in his desire for you and in relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can be an overcomer and you can stand in the evil day. We all have the evil day. We all encounter trials, tests, temptations. We all, as Christians, are going to go through the evil day. We're all going to go through the schemes of the devil, whether you're ready for it or not. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to go through it. Well, we can go through it and be victorious. We can go through it and come out on the other side great, you know, more anointed, more filled with faith, more filled with, you know, the glory of God, more stability, more strength. Or we can come out defeated. And it's not never God's will for us to come out defeated. It is his will for us to come out victorious, to come out on the other side, bearing the glory of the Lord. Just like Jesus, when he went into this, was driven by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. Okay. He went in there and was tempted in every way. The enemy using the word in a way that was not appropriate. Jesus coming back and defeating him with the Word of God that was truth. Okay. But he came out of that place weak. He was weakened. He was weakened to the place where he had to be strengthened by angels. But then he left that place in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly the agenda of God when we go through tests and trials. It's for us to get on our faces before our God. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. And it says, let that not man, you know, think that he'll receive anything from the Lord when he doubts. We have to have faith, and you cannot have faith apart from the Word of God. You have got to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then when you go before God and you say, God, I need wisdom to overcome this. Give me your grace. And you cast that anxiety upon him, that he will come and he will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And he will give you the strategy to defeat whatever it is that's coming. You know, we live in such a natural world, but we are not warring on a natural plane. But I'm telling you, everything that we're seeing in the natural is taking place in the Spirit. Everything that you see taking place on the earth is taking place in heaven. There's a great war going on. And of course, we know who wins in the end, but God wants his people to be more than conquerors right now, to be more than conquerors and to reign in this life by Christ Jesus right now. And that takes a turning from complacency. And I just pray right now, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that this word would hit the spirit, Father God, of those who have laid down their armor, those who have laid down their sword, those who have been defeated by circumstances, those who've been discouraged. And God, that you would lift them up, that they begin to hear the clacking, God, of the armor coming back upon them, Lord. That they'd begin to see, Father God, the glory, Father God, of your presence come back into their spirit. Lord, that they'd be lifted up and strengthened, God. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would release a great anointing, Father, to bring them into victory, that we don't have to stand on our own strength, but to be mighty in you and in the power of your might. Our weapons are from you, God. They're not in our own strength. Our strength comes from you, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would release to them the ability, Father, that their minds be open to comprehend, Lord, what I'm saying in this message today, that they would take a hold of it and that they would begin to dig into the word and begin to polish, Lord, their sword and begin to just come and just rub the edge of that thing sharp, God, with your word. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray that people that have been in a place for a long time and succumbing for a long time, this would be broken over them in the name of Jesus, that they would have a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit come into their lives, God, that they would see you raise them up, Lord. You said, after we have suffered a little while, you yourself will strengthen, establish us, Lord. Father, I ask that you would release a double anointing upon those who have laid down, God, and succumbed in weakness, Lord, and there was nobody there to lift them up and nobody to lift their arms or strengthen their knees. God, I'm asking you to refill them, strengthen them through the Holy Spirit. Bring life to them. Breathe into them, into the word of God in their hearts. Quicken them, Father God, by your Spirit in the precious name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us, Lord. I thank you that it's living, God, and it's rhema, God, and it's always alive and always working. I thank you, Father God, that you would give that reality, Lord, and understanding to those, God, through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, through your power, God, at work, that you would quicken and open the minds of those who are without understanding. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. God, you are awesome. And I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister to your people in this way. And Lord, I just ask that as they go about their day, that they would, Father God, just find themselves, Lord, aware of the war around them and begin to sharpen their swords and begin to speak what you're speaking, Lord, and begin to declare what you declare. Father, your word says that when we go someplace into a home, that we're to speak peace to that home. And if there is somebody worthy there, your peace will set there. But if not, it will come back upon us. Teach us, Lord, to speak peace wherever we go, so that whether or not there's somebody there that is worthy of that peace, we will walk in the peace of God. I thank you, Father God. I bless you. I thank you all for tuning in today. I'm really new at this, and I'm just getting the hang of it. And I just ask that you continue your prayers for me. I'm going to cut this short, and I'm going to continue on with the next episode. This is technically episode number 3. So, be praying for me that God would give me the anointing and understanding and ability to release his word to you. And just remember that we are called to be victorious. And as John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God bless you. I love you all. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode of Kingdom Keys Podcast. I hope that you were encouraged and blessed by the Lord. I ask that if you were encouraged, that you would please leave us a comment on iTunes, at Podomatic, or on our website at www.midnightoilministries.com. See you at the next episode. God bless you. The emerald rainbow around your throne, shining out upon the streets of God.